going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to a double feature installment of WTF Prime Time! This is Evangelist, and I am joined by Gog Dog.
Hey, good to be back.
Welcome back, Gog Dog.
Ishugashides.
Please enjoy time with podcast.
He was the best humanity had to offer.
Also here with us today is Aaron.
Yes, I am. I have no voices.
You're mounted back on my left hand.
Ew.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was mounting involved.
Oh, there will be. I've been learning a lot of things from
actors.
It's
better than Aaron mounting your left leg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Humping! We're going to be talking about two episodes of Prime today, in an episode I like to call Out of the New Recrast. We're going to be talking about Out of the Past and New Recruit. By the way, in case anyone is curious as to why we're double featuring, it's because we didn't have time and we couldn't schedule each other into each other's schedules last week for Out of the Past. So, let's talk about Out of the Past. And let's talk about the big, big thing that was the big, big draw for Out of the Past. That being the, I believe, David Sobolov voiced Shockwave in a really weird role for people who've played Fall of Cybertron, because Steve Bloom was acting alongside a Shockwave that was trying to do Steve Bloom Shockwave at Steve Bloom, but voiced by the guy who voiced Depth Charge. Like, my brain went into pretzel while I was watching that and looking at the credits. I do want to say, I think David Sobolov actually did a pretty okay job. I dig that they were going for the Fall of Cybertron Shockwave voice, which is not the David Warner-inspired voice Corey Burton did. I'm sure, like, if you can't accept that, then it's not going to work for you. But already this involves accepting the Steve Bloom Shockwave from Fall of Cybertron, which I ended up being okay with. So I didn't mind the voice. It wasn't blowing my socks off or anything, but I thought it was kind of interesting, and that Prime Shockwave had a lot of, I thought, movie Shockwave stuff going on when you looked at him from the rear, with that cable just like almost like it's coming out of his spine like an extension into the cannon arm. It was a really interesting design. I need to look at it a few more times to see whether, like, I couldn't tell if it was recycling parts or if it was something that perhaps could lead to a toy or something like that, but it looked neat, and it had a red eye. I'm sure there was also much heated debate over that. Shockwave is one of those things where it's kind of like you tweak anything and people just start going like, no, you don't do that. You don't do that to Shockwave. Gog Dog, you've been out for a little while, so I want to ask you first how you felt about Prime's iteration of Shockwave.
I want to see more of him for sure. I mean, this was definitely kind of just an introduction. I dug his physical design. I liked. He's big, he's powerful, he's smart, he's the total package as far as what you would fear in an enemy. He's, you know, powerful, he's a genius. I like how they, I still have yet to play, Fall of Cybertron, unfortunately, just due to my move and everything, just being super busy lately. I haven't even had a chance to play many games at all. So I hope to jump into that soon, and maybe it'll give me more perspective on some of this stuff. But I am familiar with Shockwave's design for the most part, and I definitely think they're similar. But the Prime incarnation definitely seems to be unique in some aspects.
Yeah,
I agree with the movie thing. Like, he has the hose, but instead of it being a hose, it just looks like this really super heavy cable that a Transformer would have difficulty like lifting. It looks so heavy. It just looks like a giant burden that he carries without any effort. And I don't mind the red eye at all. The first, when we got the preview screenshot where it showed Shockwave just kind of looking at the camera and he had the giant red eye. Proportionally that eye is so much bigger, I think, than any incarnation of Shockwave that I can ever remember. Not that there's been many. So I think that's kind of unique to him, but I didn't like it at first when we saw the still images, but once I saw him in motion and everything in the show, I was totally fine with it. And in fact, I actually don't mind it at all. I think that's something that adds a little bit of unique character to him, kind of having that big giant red eye, almost like a bullseye. So I thought it was cool. Like the little details and stuff on him that glow, it's like the little circles with the lines on them that look like, traces on a circuit board. That was cool. I mean, it seems unnecessary, compared to like some of the ways other characters in Prime are designed, but I still dug it all for some reason. So I had no problem with this physical design. Again, I have yet to play Fall of Cybertron, so I'm not familiar with the Steam Bloom, version of Shockwave at all. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it yet. I mean, I definitely don't mind the voice actor at all, but I don't know. I want to see more of him. I didn't necessarily dislike it, but he didn't really jump out and grab me at all either. Coming from someone who really enjoys Shockwave overall, I mean, he's one of my favorite Decepticons.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad to see him on screen. I really dug the fact that they kept him with the whole inventing the, or at least having a large thing to do with the space bridge. Like that was a really cool throwback to G1.
Absolutely.
How he's basically the guy who kind of re-engineered a lost technology, and that was a really cool throwback. But at the same time, he's this weird kind of calculating, like, torture expert.
Yeah.
He's a genius. He's creepy. He's big. One cool thing that differentiated him from the Fall of Cybertron version, is his gun. Like he has a really awesome looking gun that looks a lot like the G1 gun mode that you detach from the toy.
Yeah.
But that's actually the gun barrel on his arm, and I thought that was absolutely fantastic. And I love the sound effect it made. It's so different than any other. They gave the gun personality, which is, I think, to some degree, a lot of the weapons in Prime, they have unique designs, but they're not really utilized in a unique way. I'd say, aside from probably Dreadwing, where he's pretty unique. I mean, yeah, in bulk. I mean, to some degree, like maybe more so the melee weapons, but the blasters, like they all look cool and they're all really unique physical designs. But in the end, they're just pew pew pew. They all sound the same. And with Shockwave, you know, one of the original Transformers that had like weaponry integrated into his body as a character trait. I was really happy to see that they made that stand out, like that big hose, and the fact that his gun sounds completely different than any other weapon sound effect that we've ever gotten in the show. I thought was a really cool little touch to differentiate, you know, the original gun arm dude. So yeah. No, I like him. I want to see more. The fact that he got lost in the space bridge and like there wasn't any like cliffhanger. I mean, there's a bit of a cliffhanger, is did he make it or not? But it's not like everybody just assumes he's dead and goes on. Like they're like, do you think you make it? And Cliffhanger's like, I hope so. it's not like, no, he couldn't have survived. And then it's like, oh my God, he's back. It's like the character's like, no, I want him to back so I can kick his ass again.
Yeah.
So I have, they're not, they, I really doubt that they made that character model and then they're never going to use it again. And I think that's the biggest obvious. He is going to return in some form. So the question is like, what has he been doing in this, whatever the space bridge dumped him, or in this other dimension he got trapped in, or whatever the hell has happened since he got stuck in the exploding space bridge, mid flight while it blew up. But now I look forward to seeing more of him. I definitely think he would be welcome to the cast, and I hope they do more than him just say like, that's highly illogical, Starscream. Like you didn't have to. I kind of wish they hadn't used that line. It's cool, I guess, for the kids. Like they need to, for people who don't really aren't familiar with the character. I guess they want to establish it. The whole logic over emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't keep using that over and over again, the line. But yeah, I hope
I'll make you illogical.
Yeah,
shoots you.
So, but no, I definitely enjoyed him completely in the show, and I really can't wait for him to come back and see what they do with him.
I really agree about the SFX design on his gun. It sounded like the kind of gun that, like, in a video game, when a gun sounds that different, it's because when it hits you, you don't survive. So yeah. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Aaron, how are you feeling about Prime Shockwave?
I really dig him. I could swear that I have heard that gun sound effect somewhere else, though. Maybe not in Prime.
Yeah, I don't think in the show.
Yeah, but I heard that sound once, and it had that effect of, like, this is something serious, but it was, like, in the back of my head was, like, it's something that I've heard before. So I don't know if that's maybe out of some sound library or something else, or maybe I am crazy. I don't know. But I really did like the way that he... And I'm not quite sure if it's because he's Shockwave or if it was the new character means that he's the double super badass for his first outing, and then later on he'll come back down the power curve. But I really had a lot of gravitas. I was glad that we finally did get to see him, though. I know that was
we've all been sitting on it since BotCon. Yeah. You were telling me, I think, what was it, last prime time, that there were people who were actively campaigning that those of us claiming he was at BotCon were part of an elaborate hoax.
Yeah, maybe not quite an elaborate hoax, but that we didn't really see Shockwave or whatever, even though it's like, no, they said that we rushed this so that it'd be here for BotCon.
Yeah.
They played it during Shockwave's Hall of Fame montage, but it wasn't really Shockwave.
No, it was all an elaborate hoax. It was, and we're all lying about the fact that we saw. Oh, now it's hopefully. Yeah. No, there's probably still someone out there who's starting to freak. Like, that wasn't really. There was no Shockwave on that episode. You're all crazy.
Even though they said Shockwave, it wasn't really Shockwave. It was Shackwave the whole time. It was his gray brother. It was all the purple lighting on the gray plastic made it look like he was purple. But no, I think that they definitely did do a good job with him, because it was also the whatever cortical
psychic patch
that he was the inventor of, so he knows how to use it.
That was an awesome snap moment for me. I was like, oh!
And the fact that he also was like a renowned torturer or some such, that it was a big issue that, well, we're going to go see Shockwave.
I kind of wonder, too, if that almost wasn't a callback, because if you remember in Animated, there was a scene where Shockwave was trying to extract codes from RC's brain.
Yeah.
I mean, probably just a coincidence, but I was like, oh, yeah, like this is like the second time in two consecutive shows where we've had Shockwave trying to physically extract data from RC's brain via a cable.
I hadn't even thought of that. But, I mean, beyond that, he got plenty of time, but it wasn't like he was a focus, if that makes sense.
Well, he kind of arrived in the episode. Yeah. I was actually very worried when he showed up, the way he showed up. And every worry I had actually ended up being solved, which I was really happy about by the end of the episode. First thing is he shows up, and he doesn't speak for like a minute and a half. And I was sitting there going, like, is this some weird thing where because Steve Bloom is Starscream in this, they're just not going to give him a voice? And I was sitting there going, like, they can't. There's no... And then, like, a minute in, I was like, are they really going to make him mute, like, Soundwave? And then when he finally spoke, I was like, oh, thank goodness. I also was really worried that they were going to have him get Skyquaked somehow. That was initially alleviated by the fact that he was basically bulletproof, and I loved how he was just like walking through the laser fire. Like, I'm not going to drop any spoilers on Fall of Cybertron, but this iteration of Shockwave feels like something that you could roll into from Fall of Cybertron if you were to just start filling in your own fiction. And it was very interesting to me, especially with the timing of this episode and the release of the game. I was like, this feels like almost a cross tie in a way. But then near the end, when they drop the ceiling in on him, I was sitting there and I gaped for a second. I was like, did they just kill him? Did they just skyquake him with the ceiling? And then when he came into the portal or the space bridge, I was so happy because I was like, oh, they're really going to do this. And at least if he gets killed, he's going to be a badass death. And he totally got a badass ending to the episode. And they didn't kill him. And I was so happy because for whatever reason, I was dead certain that there was like a well over 50% chance that they might just have him pop in this episode and disappear again. Because at BotCon, I didn't remember what his body looked like. And then when I was watching this the first time, it wasn't like with my face right up to the monitor or anything. So I couldn't tell, like, is he just like reusing parts of Viacons or something? Or is it like, no. Is it bits and pieces of other models? So I was really happy that Shockwave looks like a character who could come back. And then it was almost confirmed when I went to look up his voice actor, and I was like, cool, they got like a Transformers alumni, but not like an unpayably famous one. So they got David Sobolov in, and he could probably come back in and do some work. I've heard that someone confirmed that he has gone back in to do some work in rumor, but I didn't really track down those conversations. I just kind of caught bits and pieces of them being pasted on Twitter, so don't hold me to that. But Shockwave, I felt really good about, and I hope we can get a Voyager toy out of this somehow. I think it would be well worth everybody's time and effort. Speaking of people who had new voices, let's talk about Cliffjumper and his new voice, who I went and looked up. And that dude was he's the new guy in Homicide on Dexter. I forgot the actor's name now. He's the guy who shows up in season two
Billy
or three.
Billy Brown or something?
Yeah, Billy Brown.
Yeah, Billy Brown.
And I didn't know who the voice was when I heard it, but I was like, they're doing a pretty good job with Cliffjumper. It's not The Rock, but whoever's doing this voicing is competently voicing the character, and I'm kind of enjoying this. And I looked up who it was, and I was like, oh, it's that guy I like in Dexter. So I had a happy surprise there. I felt that the way Cliffjumper was delivered in this, you had to accept up front that this was kind of not matching up with Darkness Rising in terms of absolute vocal delivery and continuity. But that aside, I kind of enjoyed this Cliffjumper, just as this like kind of happy-go-lucky bruiser walking up to Viacons going like, hey, I totally betrayed the Autobots. No, really, I hate Optimus Prime. So what's going on? And I love that he just kept running with it, and then they're just like, oh, someone's behind me, isn't
he? Yeah.
Oh, I kind of enjoyed that scene. That scene went from being a gag I usually don't like, where it's a guy walks up like, hey, I'm on your side. Oh, you're dead. To this like prolonged thing where the two Viacons just clearly at no point ever bought what he was saying. They were just standing there looking at him like, this guy is an idiot. And Shockwave is coming in the room. Let's just watch him. We'll just view this, whatever. I kind of enjoyed that. This is the first time where I've actually really felt the loss of Cliffjumper this episode, because I was like, okay, they were writing this character who could have been a cool cast member, and in this flashback, I'm finally starting to feel some connection to a character who is no longer with us in the plot. So, small grats there. I was not sure how I'd feel about a Cliffjumper oriented story, and it went better than I thought it would. Aaron, how'd you feel about the quote unquote return of Cliffjumper with that whole the cold opening that tried to trick you, even though it was really obvious there's no way it could have tricked you? Cliffjumper, go.
Again, a prime form quibble was that people thought that this was potentially a clone. No, obviously, flashback. Uh-huh. And it was a flashback episode done well. The cold open at least kind of tries to fool you. And then it was a good reason to have a flashback. Mm-hmm. With the whole, you know, RC relating Cliffjumper story. And then Cliffjumper being a whole lot more of the same, but also kind of different than what we got in the initial five-parter, of seeing that he wasn't just horns, that he was the talk was something that was him, not just a one-off thing. And the fact that he just uses that quick on the feet thinking of, you know, trying to distract him for Shockwave's brain scramble thing, and then also with the Viacons, and also having, and it's a gag that I'll admit that I do actually like, the "and he's right behind me, isn't he" moment.
When it's done right, that can work, and I think it worked in this one. I'm often very critical of that gag when relied upon.
I think it worked.
Yeah. But I really did enjoy. Most of my notes were just more about him being quick on his feet. I don't know why, but it didn't seem quite so much, or at least my memories thereof didn't seem quite so much of that from the initial five-parter. So I guess that kind of caught me off guard or sideways, maybe.
But really, we never really saw much of him at all. Like, the five-parter, we had him for maybe 5 minutes, and it was just him going, like, I got the horns! And then he got killed. So it was really cool to see more of him. Gog, what about you? How'd you feel about the potential clone of Cliffjumper in an episode called Out of the Past?
This is one of the negative aspects of the internet is everyone's opinion. Everyone thinks they're. Let me think of how to phrase this.
Everyone
has to have an off the wall theory before every single episode, and everyone has to feel like that opinion should be taken seriously instead of just watching a show week to week and enjoying it episode by episode. So I'm not going to go into any further than that, but people just, if you're enjoying the show, just watch it. You don't have to come up with theories every week. You don't have to. Just watch it and enjoy it for what it is. Judge it after it happens, not before. Whatever. But I liked Cliffjumper in this. I agree with you completely, Chris, about the impersonation. Like, you could not have done a better Rock impersonation. Like, the guy that did it, he nailed it. I mean, yeah, you could tell it's not the Rock, but outside of just barely being able to tell, like he nailed it. Like, he sounded like Cliffjumper from that pilot episode.
Mm.
He did a great job. The vocal cues, the inflection, everything. He nailed it. So while almost nearly every single line delivered it wasn't just some cheap impersonation. He was channeling Dwayne Johnson when he said that, and he did such a good job of just getting his little voice cues and everything that it worked great. I really liked the callbacks to the pilot. RC's brought up, and then Cliffjumper is brought up after. Like, the first thing he does is he looks to RC and says, "Long time no see." It's exactly what he said to Starscream when they brought him up in because this was basically just a mirror of that original scene.
Mm-hmm.
But then it even adds more when you go back and watch the pilot, when Cliffjumper says, "Long time no see, Starscream." That was probably the last time he had seen Starscream, was when he had been brought up exactly the same way. And I think it's genius. And especially when you get to see kind of this retroactive personality, not a retroactive personality, but more this expanded on of this little glimpse of the personality we had seen. I agree again with what Vangelis had said as far as, like, you got to know Cliffjumper more here than you ever have. Obviously, this is the most screen time he's gotten. But I like now that you get that personality, and then you go back and you see that, like, that pilot, and when he's being brought before Starscream, like, that's not just a line of him saying, like, "Long time no see, Starscream." It's just him total in smartass mode.
Because
he's basically just
almost.
Repeating. He's basically repeating the exact same line. Like, "Yep, we've been here before, haven't we?" Even though he's, you know, bleeding and everything else, and knows he's probably about to die, he still kind of keeps that up. And I don't know. I enjoyed that. There was some very clever. Whoever saw this did a very good job to subtly tie this into that pilot episode in several different ways, and I was really impressed with how that went. But yeah, I liked it. There was lots of little callbacks to the episode that worked very well for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was there was another obvious callback as well in Starscream, pretty much about to do what he did to him in the pilot at one point.
Yep.
And that actually, because one of the things that always lingered in a weird way was, like, why did Starscream just, like, turn around and go, like, "Oh, hey, Cliffjumper, and now you're dead"? Like, when you watch the rest of the series, you're like, there's so many times where he tries to weasel his way or try to manipulate people. The moment he saw Cliffjumper, he just friggin' stuck him in the gut and then bled him out.
Right.
And now it actually retroactively makes a bit more sense, because at that point, Starscream probably was just like, next time I see him, I am going to cut him open. I'm going to bleed him out on my bridge. And then he did. So it...
Yep.
It felt,
he made a fool of him once, and he wasn't going to let it happen again.
Yeah, it kind of it did a little bit of patchwork to some, like, the, you know, the pilot five-parter in comparison to the rest of the series has always, to me, been like, you have to take it as being something that was made a good couple months before the rest of the show. And I like it when there are episodes like this that can go back and kind of just put little bits of plaster in some of the rickety parts and go like, oh, here's why he did that and then didn't do something like that later on.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it feels totally just ham-fisted that they're trying to shove something in that doesn't belong, but this, to me, felt like it belonged in every way.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one question, though. You said that there was something about this that continuity-wise didn't add up. What were you talking about with that?
Oh, me?
Yeah, when you were introducing Cliffjumper, you said something about didn't fit in the continuity.
I just meant like there, you know, if you were really listening in, there are times where he sounds a little bit less like The Rock than he does.
Oh, you're talking about his voice.
Yeah, just vocally. Okay. Not anything else. I'm sure there are people who are just like the moment that the voice wasn't Dwayne Johnson, even if it was a really good Dwayne Johnson oriented performance, it would have taken him out. And I'm like, yeah, there's going to be that super anal retentive continuity in there that's just not going to fit together. But actually, to expand on a point you made, the way I would one-line it is that I think that in this episode, it wasn't a perfect Rock Dwayne Johnson, but it was pretty much Cliffjumper. And so yeah, that's what you had to go into this, I think, wanting. It's like, Cliffjumper is a character. Dwayne Johnson voiced him, and the guy who voiced him in this one sounded just like Cliffjumper. That's the way I took it. It was on pitch. It worked. And I hope that we can get a couple more chances to bring him back in, even if it's just in flashbacks, a couple more chances to bring that guy in to do a little bit more of what was a pretty good job. After those two character discussions, like, the rest of this is pretty open to me. Gog, do you have any other points you'd like to bring up?
Let me see. We talked about Shockwave. That was a big part of it. Like all the Cliffjumper stuff. Just a couple more things that I got. I guess since we're already talking about Cliffjumper, we can talk about RC.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. I mean, it was pretty by the book here. You get to see RC. She's still bitter. It's been established that, you know, that she had lost a partner and Cliffjumper had kind of become her second. So I don't think anything was real surprising there. But I really enjoyed the moments outside with Miko. And yeah, maybe it was a little stereotypical, but like when Miko kind of fires at her, like, you know, she RC makes the comment like, if anybody knows what it's like to lose a partner, and Miko's like, yeah, you would know, and RC's like, yeah, actually I do. And like she reacted like really mature, like she had come to accept it, and it wasn't like some like, oh no, you didn't, or how dare you say that. She took it in stride. She's like, yeah, actually I really do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so, I like that Miko felt bad immediately, because that's how that goes in real life when you drop something like that. Like, you say it, and then you're like, oh, God, I can't believe it.
She didn't feel bad 22 minutes later. She felt immediately like, wow, like, I can't believe I just said that. I was kind of an asshole.
Mm.
But, yeah, it was all RC's delivery. Her voice, I think it was, too, just the acting. She was very soft-spoken. And she seemed very sincere in everything that she was saying, and it didn't feel like an actor reading lines. It felt like she was reaching out to Miko, you know, as one sentient being to another, you know, woman to woman, however you want to say it. But it, like, her lines, delivery, and everything just felt really sincere, and I enjoyed it.
And Suma Lee has really owned that role by this point. Like, whenever RC's speaking, it's like, I think Suma Lee is just, she's owned the RC role in a really good way. I'm hoping, this is for more of the end of the episode, I'm just hoping that her good performance as RC can soon go somewhere really plotically intense, farther than it has before. I thought RC was pretty good in this episode. Aaron, any thoughts yourself on RC?
I really did like the way, because she had, it seemed like she also had a moment in there where she realized that some of how she's been reacting to situations is not the best, you know, talking about, you know, some of the advice that she gives is like, you know, okay, well, that's advice I was given before, and I don't know if it was meant to be a hang the moment of you know, follow your own advice type of deal, or only realizing you're giving good advice, or that you got good advice when you're giving the same good advice, I think is where I'm trying to work. That you know, when she has that kind of, oh yeah, I guess that is a thing type of moment in there after the story,
a quiet little character epiphany.
Yeah, that those are the type of things that really kind of show more, because I think that subtlety is a good way to show some serious development as well. Not always, oh, gee, I'm glad I learned the story this week type of reaction, but oh, yeah, okay, type of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, RC, I am happy whenever she's on screen. I think she's still one of the best parts of the show, in many aspects. So, and I always, whenever she, because RC sometimes seems to kind of take a little bit of a vacation now and then from screen time, where she's kind of just gets relegated to the back where some other people get put. And whenever she gets to come back to the forefront, I'm always like, all right, we got some more Suma Lee. It's going to be awesome. Aaron, do you have a point you'd like to bring up?
The fact that Cliffjumper and RC very well could have been what brought the Decepticons to Earth in the first place.
Yeah, I was trying to recall. I don't have it handy right now, but a lot of events of this tried to make me remember the RC Cliffjumper prologue comic.
Yeah, this seems like it was a retelling of that comic.
Like a loose adaptation.
Yeah, because it was similar points of meeting in the field and trying, I can't remember off the top of my head if it was a space bridge that we have to stop, but it was kind of impromptu paired up, and now we got to take care of this thing and go from there. Because I don't think her issue with previous partners was a thing.
Well, that wasn't in the comic, because that would have kind of given away,
yeah,
I think, some of the punch of later stuff.
But I do think that this was a retelling. So I don't know if it was really a retelling or they went, hey, we actually have a pretty good story in this. Let's just kind of adapt it and roll from there. But it, I don't know. I was just very surprised in the kind of further realization that, you know, Starscream had no idea about Earth until that message, and otherwise there wouldn't have been any Decepticons there, because we didn't have, I mean, Starscream had the Harbinger or Nemesis or whatever it is.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever the name of the ship is, and all the Viacons with Megatron out of commission or whatever. I forget that early story stuff, unfortunately. But
Everybody sure did have Earth modes, though, for never having heard of Earth, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah! Well,
it's a minor problem that we gotta take care of with, look, shiny.
Well, I think with Prime, the general, like, conceit is that their robot modes have never, ever changed. At all. So whenever they're not on Earth in flashback, they kind of just don't transform.
What's funny, because, and I haven't gone back to check it, but I was reading a thread somewhere where somebody had mentioned that in the flashback, remember when they do the kind of graphic novel flashback where it showed like Megatron preaching to the council or whatever, and Soundwave was like his first follower? Like, somebody had said that Soundwave in that actually had a Cybertronian mode. So when they did him in two dimensions, they gave him a new mode, but then they show him in three and he doesn't have it. Which is understandable, but it's kind of weird that they actually designed a Cybertronian mode for him, but they can only use it in comic book, like motion comic form.
I remember seeing somebody's photo side by side of Soundwave, and he was a lot more buff than he is now. But I can't remember seeing a different mode.
I would need to see these photos all lined up for me, because I'm...
Yeah.
This is one of those things where I would need to just go walk into the thread and stare at it and then walk back out. Well, you know, if we want Soundwave and everyone else to get Cybertronian alt modes, let's start a Kickstarter for them. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Get Prime some Cybertronian alt modes. We need to raise $15,000. Go! And it never worked. I want to talk about Miko briefly. And I guess by extension, Bulkhead, because we got to see some of the resolution on the he may never function the same again, which is that off screen he woke up, which I didn't hate it, but my initial reaction was like, oh, that it was kind of like, well, Kevin Michael Richardson's done doing Ninja Turtles for a week. Let's bring him back in. Okay. But I actually ended up, in the long term, I ended up being kind of okay with how they're doing this, which is that he's totally screwed up. And he's like, the nerves running down the side of his body just don't work. Like, he did suffer the equivalent of some kind of horrifying stroke, and he's trying to go through physical rehabilitation. Bulkhead's not the part I'm really interested in talking about, more so Miko, because, Miko, she did not turn into a sorrowful, grimdark character. But in this episode particularly, there's quiet bits of maturation going on, sort of, where she's kind of like, all right, I'm going to stick by my buddy, I'm going to get him through this. She hasn't, had a full-on, I'm no longer the character I was before, but I kind of feel like there's something going on underneath the top layer of, it feels like there is a small change. I might be kind of filling in gaps myself when I'm thinking about it, but when I was first watching the episode, I was trying to give a real critical look at Miko, and I was like, I feel like there is something changing in there. New recruit, I felt, carried through on the theory I've had of her change being very subtle and under the top layer. But overall, Miko and Bulkhead and that whole situation, I'm curious how you guys felt. Gog, since you weren't here for the last episode, I'm very interested to hear your opinion on how that all played out.
I mean, it's definitely given something for Miko to accomplish for once. We've talked about many times through this whole second season. I mean, for the first part of the second season, she was literally relegated to delivering awful one-liners that literally just, they weren't just bad from the viewer. They were so bad that the characters would just look at her and be like, what? And then she would literally do nothing the rest of the show.
Yeah.
That was it. Her only spoken line. Just say something completely and utterly retarded. So it's good to finally have her doing something. It's not just her running around getting into trouble. It's something that I think everybody can relate to, as far as, somebody that you love is been gravely injured and seeing her, but it's good not at the same time, she's not moping around. She is pushing Bulkhead to get better because she can't accept what he's going through. I mean, for better, for worse, but there's some legitimate motivation there. Both in the plot and, character motivation and stuff like that. So, I'm not sure how I feel about the Bulkhead thing, because I mean, we're obviously going to talk about the next episode, and hopefully maybe even I don't know if you guys have seen it, I'm sure Aaron probably has, but the promo for even the episode after that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this whole Bulkhead thing is just going to be the standard Prime, it looks like this is going to be something really big, and then we're just going to kind of find a way to just quickly resolve it. And so I kind of hope they don't do that, but I almost don't see it happening any other way. I don't know, but I mean, cause Lee, when I'd watched last week's episode, or not, well, not, not last week's, the first episode back from the break, Hurt, I haven't talked about that yet on here at all, but, after that, it's the big thing is Bulkhead is going to live, but he may never be the same. And you're like, oh, wow, this could be a complete role change for this character. Instead of being the big bad, he's the guy you send in to, go head-to-head with Megatron if you need to or whatever. Or if you need 30 Viacons knocked out with two punches, you send in Bulkhead. Instead of being the big bruiser, he's now a crippled Transformer. And that could be interesting. That would be so brave on the part of the writers to do that. Take one of the favorite characters in the show and do something like that, especially with Miko, him being partnered up with the girl who's running headstrong into everything. And Bulkhead's always been there with her, either chasing behind her to save her or, right beside her or in front of her as she runs after him. One way or another, they've always just run together through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm.
To the frustration of the viewer sometimes, but regardless, that's been the way things have worked. And seeing the possibility of a character get forcibly changed and the emotional consequences and stuff that come with that could be really, really epic. to use a word that's kind of been diminished lately. I think I think it would fit in the grand scheme of things, but and the consequences of Miko, and we're seeing shadows of that. Like, we're seeing Bulkhead, we're seeing his frustration with not being well. We see it even more in the next episode. We see Miko dealing with it and the consequences, but in the end, it's just, it's like shadows of all this possibility. And I feel bad even talking about it, because I feel like we've had this conversation so many times of like, imagine what could happen here. And it never does. It never does.
I mean, we're trying to dial it back these days.
Right. And I have too, for sure. Because I see like these, the way that they can lead into just some amazing storytelling. And then it's just like the next episode, it's like, nah, well, we're done with that as a writer. We're going to move on. And it's just like, whoa, like all the buildup and this really amazing path that this has gone down. And I, like, so far, like the only storyline that continues to do that with me is Mech. So I'm really looking forward to the episode this week, because the Mech episodes have yet to really let me down. But yeah, so I don't know. Like, I'm of two minds of it, and I'm trying again. Like, that's something that we've been saying over and over again, is don't judge the episodes before they happen. So I'm really trying to curb that in myself as well. Mm-hmm. But so we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's I think it's interesting to put, like, I like it when I've always liked it when Transformers get injured, and that's a thing for more than an episode.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of blew my mind when that happened a few times in, like, Victory, when you had, I think it was Blacker, like, got his arm ripped off, and for, like, three or four episodes or so, like, his arm is literally in a cast, and he can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And, like, in G1, like, that's like, oh, wow, that's crazy. And, like, the same thing with Starsaber. Like, there was a couple times where Starsaber had fights, and, like, the next episode, he's still, like, recovering and can't do anything, because that's how much he got his ass kicked. And so, like, little things like that when characters do that. Like, yeah, with G1, it was a bigger deal because the episode-to-episode continuity was not nearly as part of a thing in cartoons as it is now in a lot of cases. But, like, I don't know. Like, that's always been something that's been really cool for me. But I almost wish that they would take it to that next level. And I guess only time will tell to see if they do that with Bulkhead, just sweep it under the rug, and this whole lead up of him being injured just four episodes from now literally doesn't equate into anything. But at the very least, maybe we'll hopefully see some permanent character development out of both Miko and maybe Bulkhead, and hell, even by extension RC, so that, like, yeah, maybe there was no permanent physical repercussions for what happened, but at least we got some long-term character growth out of it or something.
It almost seems like Prime has got a producer or somebody watching it and saying in like two or three episode stretches, yeah, this is real good. Yeah, this is real good. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to go get sandwiches. I'll be back, get the next couple episodes hammered out or whatever, and then come back around and see that some of that continuity is just dried out.
Yeah, I mean, Prime...
And that's a rough thing.
Yeah, Prime seems to have zero long-term goals at all. They don't. I get the impression that they have no idea where they want the show to go. They have a couple things on the board that they want to hit, but like as far as what characters are, like some long-term goals for what they want to do, there doesn't seem to be anything of where they want to take the story. I mean, certainly with characters, we've gotten some growth. I mean, but like RC has been dealing with this since the pilot. And it's cool to come back to it, but and it's not bad. Like the whole dealing with the death of a character thing, like it should have long term consequences. Like there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, outside of like I keep coming back to with Mech, like what has the show done that's had nearly any consequence? I mean, outside of maybe Kill and Breakdown, which again, you know, that probably is going to have some major consequences, which I appreciate. You know, from the viewpoint of like what else has the show done like that, because like
Knockout just laments that he doesn't have someone to do stuff for him, which I kind of find amusing.
But it's just like I wish that the writers would really pin down like long term goals and for something to lead into or build up or something, because it just like the whole constant reset is, you know, every once in a while, like, I've forgiven it a lot for doing that, but, and it's, you know, I've said it over and over again, and I'll still say it. Like, Prime has terrific characters and terrific actors that make you like the characters regard whether they're accomplishing anything or not. Like, I still, it's bittersweet because there'll be an episode go by where literally nothing happens. And, or it will completely undo everything that's happened for the past 3 weeks that you've been looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. It just undoes it because they're ready to move on. And to zero fanfare. And it's just like, you got to be kidding me. But the characters themselves are still interesting that I still enjoy watching them regardless of that fact. That doesn't work for everybody. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's enough to keep me interested to where I still look forward to watching the episodes. But afterwards, I'm left wanting. So, and that's me. I don't speak for anyone but myself, but it's the show really needs to find out what it wants to accomplish, because it would be a shame to have such good characters and then you look back and you're like, they did nothing but just have good, really awesome moments occasionally from week to week, and you can't even remember what they were fighting for, what they were doing other than shooting at each other every week. There needs to be something more.
We talked about this a little bit last week, and we were remembering, like, back when the show was pitched, they said, what's Transformers Prime about? What's the overarching story of Transformers Prime? And it was, what it means to be a Prime. And I kind of like how everyone forgot that, because how is that in any way applicable right now to what the show is?
No, it's not. I think that was something that that they were maybe looking towards in pre-production before the show even began. Mm-hmm. And you can't use that. Like, it's like, that's something that they said before the first episode was even made. And there's been no indication now after almost two full seasons that is anything other than, you know, yeah, Prime has that moment, but any Prime centric episode that shows him growing as a leader is going to touch on what it means to be a Prime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you may get that occasionally in an episode or two, but outside of that, that was dropped a long time ago, and unfortunately, it wasn't replaced by anything.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the only mission statement we've ever had for the show was that, and like that's like we were talking about it a little bit last week of just like what is the show's theme? Well, you know, aside from like it's kind of dark, and
yeah,
you were kind of like, yeah, it's weird because I enjoy it, but I've always loved episodics that have continuity, even when there is no like heavy overarching plot, but. Like, I was thinking about it the other day where I was like, this is kind of like, in a weird way, a day in the life of a bunch of super robots in an epic war is kind of how I feel about it. So it's like the stakes are high. Characters are awesome. There's incredible, fantastical things happening. But like the actual plots are very kind of like, what'd we do today? Today we met Shockwave. What'd we do today? Today we buried Cliffjumper. What'd we do today? Today we went to the Arctic. And it's kind of like, okay, you guys are cool, though. Congrats. Were there any other thoughts on Out of the Past that anyone wants to drop in? I'm out. I can't think of anything else.
One little nitpick, maybe. I thought Cliffjumper's memorial had his horn on it.
They put more rocks on it.
Okay.
I will do, this is something I always bring up, and again, it's well-deserved. There was some really good action sequences in this episode. And so just some great animation. Very well done animation. A wonderful moment of them just like clocking Starscream in the face. Action is somewhere that Prime is always improving at, as always. But let's move on from there into the new toy. Aha! Which is New Recruit. Now, once again, there was lots of pre-talk about this because there were trailers that showed a mysterious new car with a 38 on the side, and all this, is that Smokescreen? No, it can't be Smokescreen. He doesn't look anything like him. Ah! And then it all culminated when the hub, the night before the episode, let IGN release a video, which was like an intro to Smokescreen. And there was a detonation on parts of Twitter of like, don't tell me about that, that's a spoiler! And then there was kind of these really kind of philosophical discussions of, like, is it really a spoiler when the hub is the company that says introduction to smokescreen? Because at that point, they probably just want to tell you. And and like with many Prime previews, all the footage we saw was from, like, the first 5 minutes of the episode. So once I saw the actual episode, I was like, yeah, whatever. But once again, that is a case where it's like, at the end of the day, no, we don't know who the guy with the 38 is, but we're going to find out in less than 7 days. So just keep your hat on. Tune into some cartoons you've missed in the interim. Go watch Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. That is a fantastic show. In New Recruit, the big thing to talk about is, of course, Nolan North. And the Transformer who portrayed him, Smokescreen. So, Aaron, how'd you feel about Nolan North in Transformers Prime?
I liked him. Smokescreen comes off, especially with his, when he realizes that that's Optimus Prime, he has, like, a fanboy fangasm at Optimus. Like, you're, and Team Prime's like, yeah, and?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's Optimus Prime, sure, yeah. But that, I definitely like the character, because I honestly can't remember what G1 Smokescreen was like. I think that there was, like, some, he was a gambler thing,
yeah,
maybe.
I think. I was about to say Blue Streak's bio, but that's Blue Streak, because he talks a lot, because he talks a Blue Streak.
Yeah, he talks a Blue Streak, but I couldn't remember if Smokescreen actually had a personality, and this... His personality comes off almost like what maybe like G1 Bumblebee was like, the super duper let's go do this type thing, at least in the beginning.
He actually reminded me a lot more of Armada Hotshot, only like, you know, not masked under a terrifyingly bad dub.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Like, just super enthusiastic and let's
or
go
G1
get
Rod-
him. And...
G1 Hot Rod before he became Rodimus.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good. That's another good one.
So I really did dig that it wasn't that the new character isn't another grizzled guy that's been there again and again, or it was definitely away from any of the existing kind of archetypes that we had in characters.
Mm-hmm. And Gog, how'd you feel about Nolan North?
He did fine. Like, he's young, he sounds young. One thing that was really creeping me out, I couldn't pinpoint it until I watched it the second time, is his face looks just like a young Ratchet. like his eyes and everything, like he looks like he has like a different head crest, but his face is like Ratchet's face, and it's really creepy. It's like he's like young Ratchet. When they're looking at each other, it's like father and son or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Really? Because everybody said Starscream.
Really?
Thinks he looks like Starscream. I think it's because he kind of has a rounded head. If you take away the head crests, their maybe. Head shapes are similar.
I guess. He looks like a young Ratchet to me. Maybe
No, I can totally see a young Ratchet.
Maybe technically he's closer to Starscream, but I don't know. I saw Ratchet when I saw him, but no, he's fine. Like he's young and he doesn't have Wheeljack's. Like, I'm not gonna do what I'm told. Like, which is fine. But I'm really glad we don't have more than one character like that. Like, at least, like, yeah, he's going off and he's kind of hot-headed and he's doing his own thing. But it's not like he's disobeying orders. Like, yeah. he was gonna go get the relic. It wasn't like somebody told him not to and he's gonna do it anyway. It's just like, I'm just not gonna tell anybody and do it. But then when I get caught, it's like, all right, I'm gonna fess up to what I was doing and.
It's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but not outright belligerent like Wheeljack, where he like Prime could literally tell him what to do, and he's like, and just walks away anyway. it's just more of a young, like, a rashness, but without the bitter cynicism or whatever. But, no, he's fine. Again, we've only really seen him for one episode, so, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I hope that they don't play that up too hard. Like... He's always running out head like almost like the Cybertronian version of Miko. I don't want that. Like if that comes up once in a while, but he does it smart, or if it's a good balance of being a team player with, you know, kind of being the risk taker. Like, I don't mind that, but I don't want Robo Miko. out there, like just running headfirst and always getting into trouble. I don't want that. Like we already had that with Miko, and it already made a lot of us just roll our eyes over and over again. And like if you want to do it once and learn a lesson and it be over with, okay. But we really don't need two Mikos in this show.
Right. Well, I think the one thing that's going to give him an advantage is he's also not a fleshy. So as a Transformer, I see Team Prime kind of being like, doesn't have quite maybe the sense that they have to protect him.
Yeah, he can get stepped on and won't like explode in a smear.
Yeah, which is part of what Miko being Miko gets into. You know, the whole deal that they actually reference of her going out with Wheeljack. You know, her being in the middle of that firefight, she could get messed up, something serious, and not have it be intentional. You know, the one of those Energon cubes falls on her in that stack and she's done for. But you've got a Transformer, somebody else on that scale in there in the fight. You know, he's got a better idea of what he's getting into and has much better odds. So the whole we have to cover for him aspect drops down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I very much enjoy Smokescreen. I'm going to share Pia's initial sentiment on Twitter, which is I hope they don't kill him off next episode, and I doubt they will. Even though, thanks to various toy listings and displays we'd seen months ago, it's kind of you can piece together what he is. He at the very core level, his CG model is a knockout that's been heavily modified, and you can kind of see it in the headlights and front fender pieces on his shoulders. Oh, sorry, not his shoulders, but his the outside of his main torso. He's got a very modified knockout transformation in a couple ways.
Unfortunately, his toy doesn't look like it's modified enough.
Have we seen like a clear shot of it yet, or just like
no? I went back and looked, and there was just blurry because it was when we first saw the
breakdowns.
The breakdown, yeah, they showed. And you can very much see that it's the knockout mold. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it probably has some retooling, but the image is blurry and all you could see is a gray knockout. So,
yeah.
That's a bummer.
I got fingers crossed that that was a work in progress if it was gray, only because, like, thanks to the Jet Viacon, now there's a proven science of a remold that's almost a reshell.
But the Viacon already started off as an amazing mold. That's the point. I mean, Knockout, I liked him better than I expected to based on pre-release pictures, but it's not the strongest mold.
Yeah, I'm okay if it's modified in some interesting ways. I'm really going to be interested in it. Either way, like I'm going to pick it up because I like this character so far, and I've always. Ever since I got it, I've been this weird proponent of the knockout mold in a very apologetic way. the thing I found weird about this character is everything about the way they delivered his backstory right up until the part where he enacts his plan felt like this idea of we're going to make you think he's a double agent, but he's actually not. And then the payoff is he's actually not. And it happened in a way where I kind of felt it ended on a bit of a sputter rather than a high note, because it was kind of like Prime's like, how would you know about all this? Alpha Trion told me himself. It's like, oh, you know Alpha Trion, I trust you. And I'm like, oh, this sounds like something a guy could have researched. And then when they catch him going through the hall of trophies and whatnot, and he goes up to the relic, and I'm like, oh. And at the end, Ratchet's like, yeah, and I approved his plan. I was like, oh, like, it was still kind of cool, but I was like, this felt like a whole bunch of build up to something that was kind of a nothing and whatever.
Yeah, I felt the same way. It was really awkward, and I didn't realize it until the end of the episode that they were trying to hint that he could be a double agent. It was like, wait a minute, that was the payoff.
That he is.
Yeah. And then like I thought about it, especially watching it the second time, like they're like, oh, okay. Like I see what they were trying to do, and I didn't get it until after I got the punchline. It's like hearing the punchline to the joke first and then someone explaining to you the joke afterwards.
Yeah, it was...
Okay. Like, I guess I would have... If I had been in the room earlier, I would have gotten it and it would have been funny, but now it just seems awkward.
Yeah, the whole episode, I just felt like... I felt awkward in the episode, and when they got to that payoff, I was like, okay, I had a feeling, like, that this was a misguided plot or subplot they were going to be running. And I was like, whatever, like I'll get over it. But slight disappointment, because this is also a Marty Eisenberg penned episode. So I was like, oh, Marty.
Yeah. I'm going to go into that later.
But I like the idea of his backstory. I like that we got a little bit more of an idea of pre-war Cybertron. And I like the idea of a character who is so, you know, he's not bad. He's pretty combat effective. He's super eager. He knows a lot from working in the Hall of Records. And I love the idea that when he finally had his moment to shine, the doors opened and he was knocked out in 2 seconds and ended up on a prison ship. And like, that was that. Yeah. And I like the idea, because that felt like a misleading origin. But then I was like, if this really is his origin, I love that like just colossal mark of shame on his past of like when he finally had his moment, he barely lasted 2 seconds, and that probably is burning a hole in his mind. So I hope he survives. I hope that he gets to flourish. Nolan North is now fully integrated into Transformers as a Transformer. Now we just need to get what's his name? Voices Bender. John DiMaggio. We need to get him in as a full-on Transformer, and then we'll have settled some more of the 2012 voice actor goals, or I guess the 2010s voice actor goals for the series. But yeah, bring on the toy. If it's Japan exclusive, then bummer. If it's the knockout mold, I'm okay with it, but I'm sure that will be a bummer for many. That's all I got, I think, for Smokescreen, other than I'm glad that whole argument is done. Well, actually, I'm not. Aaron's glad that whole argument is done.
Aaron is glad that everything's done. Except for we've had to make a mega thread.
You had to make a Smokescreen mega thread?
Yeah, within the...
There's only 7 days!
Yeah, it was... actually, it was after the episode. Because I got back Sunday, and there were 4 or 5 different Smokescreen threads that were slightly different threads, but just like Smokescreen. Do you think he's really a double agent? Smokescreen. Do you think he's a Mary Sue? Smokescreen. Think he's Smokescreen? And
he comes across the Mary Sue thing. He's not, for one. It's just that he has a very like self prop upping origin in a way that's like, his origin is cool. But I mean, this are we just going to have the drift argument all over again?
Yeah. And I think that talking about how he kind of vetted himself, you know, maybe
he might be making some of that up.
Like, that could be, but I'd think that because he actually said he had a name. What was it? Halogen?
Yeah, Halogen from
and the novels. High Council.
Not novels.
That Alpha Trion, you know, suggested you to the High Council to be Prime. You know, that could be something that for Prime is just fine, because it's like, you know, Alpha Trion kind of leaned on the High Council but didn't like go and openly petition. You know, it's. So if it's something that's secret, it's good enough of a secret to be an identifier that, hey, this isn't just some guy. He's got the Elite Guard mark. Okay, now it's not much more than boot camp. I like to see
that mark back. That was cool.
Yeah. But knowing, you know, that bit of story lines up, and then also that Alpha Trion was the one that put Optronics or Pax or whatever his name is this week in the past up to be Prime, you know, that very well could be enough that for Prime, you know, because instantly he was like, all right, Raph, let's bring us home. So I know that the other characters still have some distrust, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but...
Yeah, I really misunderstood initially. I thought the mega thread was just about whether or not it's Smokescreen.
Oh, no. the mega thread was all of these slightly different topics of...
Oh.
Of Smokescreen.
I mean, that's healthy. He's a new character. You know, that's. Yeah. I thought people were still just. I thought that in the 7 days of knowing about him and going in, that people were literally like needing to be corralled so they could stop arguing about what the 38 meant. Still a little bit of that, like that,
but yeah.
You just made me think of something, and it just flew out the side of my head. So, Gog, what's something you'd like to talk about from this episode?
I want to bring it up because I don't want anybody else to bring it up. It's not the most important thing in the episode, but it made my eye twitch.
I know what you're going to say.
I normally don't ask people to do stuff because I think for the most part that's kind of lame, but I'm sure somebody out there could do a more accurate job of than I can. I would love for someone to compile a list of all the MacGuffins in order, numerical order, so I can tell how many we've had. Because, yeah. Like, this episode was, it was started off great. Okay. I had some issues, you know, in the beginning. We got a little tiny glimpse of, you know, the Insecticon syndrome, where now there's a bunch of them, and all of a sudden they're weak. The week again.
My hands are up in the air on that one. I'm like, yeah. What? They must be the cast-offs that Archel didn't want in the first place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I'm just going to have to accept the fact that they're, you know, they're not going to be what I want them to be, you know, all the time or whatever. So, I'm done complaining about it. No, I think that they had a lot of potential that seems to be wasted once in a while. But you know, and then we had Smokescreen, and like, so I'm like, okay, like, this is going to center around the, you know, this new character. And, you know, and like, there's a little bit of a callback to like the past relics, you know, cause he, you know, Starscream has his Apex armor. And which is cool because it's, you know, these are MacGuffins that have had consequences on the plot for more than one episode. And I can appreciate that. And more than even the Energon Extractor, like, more than just a cameo at the beginning of an episode. Like, and I still appreciated that came up and was used again instead of just sitting in the closet somewhere in the Autobot base.
We actually got to see the closet this time, which I had just seen a Superman cartoon. Yes,
exactly.
And it made me think of the Fortress of Solitude trophies. And I was like, well, nah.
Right. And so we got to see the phase shifter. So it's like, it's cool that these devices, while, yeah, they were the gimmick of an episode, and they can still be used, and it's understand why they're not used every week, because they're important relics, and if they fall into the wrong hands, it's bad news, so they want to keep them under guarded lock and key most of the time, unless the situation absolutely calls for it. I can accept that for the most part. So we got two MacGuffins reused in this episode, and they bring in yet another, like, it's another race to find yet another new type of Energon. It's, oh, like, we see red Energon, right? And Starscream's
like,
ooh.
You got to say it like Jeffrey Combs did when I couldn't imagine saying it with a straight look on his face. Red Energon. I was like, what?
What is it doing on Earth? I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
How many times have you said this, Jeffrey Combs? Insert name. How did that get on Earth? And then when he just called it Red Energon, I was like, you don't have a better name for it than that.
They even make the effort in the beginning, like, somehow the Decepticon escape pod that Smokescreen got in somehow made it to Earth, and then they explained it, and they did a fair enough job of it. It was a Decepticon escape pod, and so the Decepticon ship on Earth heard it, locked onto it, which then made it come to Earth because they were basically going out there to greet a comrade who was coming back. Like, total makes sense. They didn't linger on it too long. They said what needed to be said. It was over, which is more than what most of the things in the show have gotten that's landed on Earth. So, you know, all these previous tropes that they did such a great job of, like, reusing and explaining. It's like, okay, this is past stuff we've had issue with, and they're doing that all service in this episode over and over again, and they still managed to slip in a brand new MacGuffin. And so while Starscream loses one, he gains another. Do we really have to keep falling back on this every week? A new something to just that everyone has to race to get. We just had like a 5-episode arc that was nothing but the Autobots and the Decepticons and Starscream as a third party, like, all racing to get before the others. And here we are 2 episodes after that, and they've already now fallen right back into that.
Energon!
It has to stop. Like, this is nothing but Pokemon now. Like, it's just, here's a new one really this week, and we got to collect them all.
Primus, you know, it's Mauve Energon!
Oh, not the Mauve stuff.
As long as Jeffrey Combs is the one who says it every time, I will always laugh at it, at least.
Oh, God. But it made me just stare for a long time.
I just couldn't believe, like, when I saw the rocks, like, okay, whatever, it's going to be a new thing that they're going to go after. I thought it was like an earth-based fuel, a jewel or something. They just literally say, Red Energon! I was like, Come on, at least said Toxin on the other on the green energy.
Right, yeah, yeah. But yeah, we've gotten Synthen and Toxin and like just red dark Energon. Dark Energon and now red Energon. Like, so yeah, we have regular Energon, dark Energon, Synth Energon, toxic Energon. This is the fifth type of Energon well we've gotten, and that's only Energon amongst all the other MacGuffins. Like, I'm serious though. If anybody has an easy way to do that, I want to see a numbered list of every MacGuffin in this show that. Of that nature.
And if you could also put together a video of every time Ratchet names the MacGuffin, because he's often the one doing it, that would just be fantastic to listen to.
But it's like, so if anyone ever wants to accuse us of just being like rabid I've already forgotten his name. Fanboys of Marty Eisenberg.
No, Marty. You dropped it this time.
I love Marty, and I think I'm sorry. I think some of the episodes that Marty has written for this season have been not only the highlight of season two, but some of the highlights of Prime. Like, Marty is a terrific writer, but I am a little disappointed by some of the and maybe those weren't his decisions. I don't know, and maybe the blame doesn't fall on him. I don't know, but like, yeah, there was. And like I said, even with some of the past stuff, like he did, it was clever use of previous ones, which is always a plus.
Yeah.
Good use of explaining why yet another thing landed on Earth, and it was perfectly done. And like after all that, the fact that we get yet another one is just like, but you're doing such a good job up to that point.
It felt like a whole lot of really good Marty writing of like just tying up all of these world elements and stuff. And it literally felt like someone told him, hey, we need you to come up with a hyperspeed thing. Maybe make it Energon of some kind. Maybe red. But, and it feels like his reaction almost was like, all right, it's called red Energon. It makes you fast. Here you go.
But it's like, is this what Starscream is now? Because like that one episode, I think it was Partners, where he ended up leaving. And he had that awesome monologue where he's like, I'm neither Autobot nor Decepticon. I'm just like, oh, man. Like, there's stuff in store for this character. This is what Starscream has been relegated to. He is, whenever there is a new MacGuffin, he tries to beat everybody to it. And it's like, it's kind of sad. It's like, there needs to be something more done with this character. Like, cause it's kind of like they decided like, yeah, we'll just have Starscream go rogue, like an animated. And now we have no idea what to do with him. And so, yeah, it's just another wasted potential as far as I'm concerned, and we'll see. I mean, I keep saying that we'll see, and hopefully they do something more with him, but like, that was kind of cool, Starscream being like, yeah, he's on his own, but with the Apex armor he can be on his own. And mm-hmm. I thought it was really clever how they got him out of the Apex armor. It was brilliant. So yeah. good job Marty. That was, I never saw that coming, and it was, when that happened, I'm like, oh, that was actually pretty clever. But he gave up one MacGuffin and now he has another. So now we're just going to get like the Flash Starscream, because he still hasn't. He's got the transformation cog that he got from his clone. Still, unless they show us otherwise, we have to assume at this point he hasn't had the balls to install it yet. So is he just going to be the Flash now? Like, just he just run really fast? Like,
it's weird.
Until he can't, because they write it out after an episode, and then what? You know, nothing. Starscream has done nothing since that awesome, since some really cool moments, you know, in the beginning of season two, where he's a rogue and he's literally just, the Autobots feel sorry for him. And he looked pathetic to the point to where like I was sympathizing with him as a character. And I'm really kind of sad that those moments are gone and it's just been him chasing the next MacGuffin. It's,
yeah, I feel like this episode in particular, like I've, again, and this is speculation, it's all the aspects of it are so weird that it feels like Marty wrote an episode and then got the note about Red Energon or something. Like
it just seems like they could have just had an encounter rather than even have to go after a MacGuffin.
I mean, it takes a real special kind of not really wanting to do it to literally just call it Red Energon to me. Yeah. Like, that's just, That's like, hey, I wrote the whole episode. They went and he tried to get a fuel source and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, can you change the fuel source to like a red kind of Energon? And it's like, all right, fine. So it was kind of annoying. But, well, actually, I'll wait a little bit to talk about something. But I do agree. I think that the phase shift drop kick was pretty cool. Although I was laughing that now, just to complete their Batman Cave Fortress of Solitude thing, like now they just have the Apex armor standing in the background of the Autobot base, and like you could fold it up at least. Like now you guys are just friggin' gloating. Whatever. I mean, I'd probably do it.
Well, I wonder if you have to have somebody in the armor to undo it because of whatever, just to keep it out of the, to take it out of the game now.
The because of whatever is why I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
Because I don't want to fill in a gap unless I really have to. And it, I just want to imagine they just put it there because it looks cool when it's all deployed. Although that'd be weird if that was like the way they fixed the armor into a state of uselessness. Is like, hey, we forcefully disconnected it before we shut down, and now no one can hit the shutdown switch because it's inside the Apex armor.
Yeah, when the computer says, you know, don't turn it off until it's done saving, it means it.
Yeah, now it's stuck. Congratulations, Nolan North. Aaron, what's the part of this episode you'd like to bring up?
We kind of talked about it before in the last episode, and we can continue it on, of the Miko Bulkhead, and Bulkhead really showing how down and out he is, at least in this ep.
Poor guy walking away on a bum leg.
Yeah, I mean, showing him doing whatever scissor kick things with Miko, trying to work that leg, and it looks like he's down to just having an issue with one leg, but, you know, feeling just beat up, when it's like, oh, a new guy, you know, oh, should we call in Wheeljack? You know, so they had the whole, you know, should we call in Wheeljack? And Ratchet said, you know, heck no, not with what happened last time. And Bulkhead's like, I'm right here. What you guys can't hold off, what, you know, and then even continuing on with the, it's not quite an elite guard graduation ceremony, but welcome to Team Prime. And Bulkhead's just like, you mothers, and just... step drag away. That if it's really neat to see that continuation. And again, you know, it's who knows how it goes, because if you catch the previews for the next episode, there's something in there, but for like half a frame. So it would be really, really cool to see that continue on, that, okay, even as Bulkhead's better, seeing, you know, maybe Miko sharing some of the enthusiasm with this new guy or whatever to kind of grade on him, because their race car or Rock'em Sock'em Robot / Demolition Derby heavy metal enthusiasts together, and he's losing a buddy.
Hmm. Yeah. I was just very distracted. I was checking out the episode again, and
okay.
I need to stop doing that thing where I was just watching the phase drop kick, and I completely got stuck just imagining like some internal off switch.
Yeah,
I'm back.
Well, that was, and right before that was that Michael Bay 360 moment as well. No. It's like, look, it's like a car commercial.
You know what I really liked in this episode was Starscream in Apex armor climbing a ladder. There was something
really...
He
didn't climb the ladder so much as just tried to pull down the scaffolding and managed to pull himself up it.
I know, but that's...
It's not like he was tinky-tinky-tinky-tinky.
This is the visual of it I found really amusing. I was like, you know, you're in this super-powered armor, you could probably just pick up the entire structure and hurl it across the dock, but you're like, I'm gonna climb up this ladder. Ka-tunk, ka-tunk, ka-tunk. Gog, have you got any other points for this episode you want to bring up?
I want to comment just briefly on the Bulkhead, because, like, I'm a little conflicted on that as well, because, like, I'm glad that he's feeling something for being out, especially, you know, he's a former Wrecker, and he's always been the big bad, only behind Optimus as far as, you know, the heavy hitter for Team Prime and all that, and so it's good to see that there's an emotional consequence for him being out, but the whole... Like, oh, I'm jealous because of the new guy. Like, I didn't buy it. It seemed more pathetic than it was sympathetic for me. Like, I wish it would have been toned way back, like more subtle. like him seeing the like the new guy out there getting some, and everybody's like, yeah, good job. And like even just a wordless reaction of him just kind of looking and kind of maybe ducking his head and turning away and walking away while nobody notices or something like that, that would have been way more sympathetic to me than just him, oh, the new guy, he's pretty good, huh? Well, I guess I'm replaced. I'm going to go over here and pout. Like, it, I didn't feel any sympathy for him at all. Like, and I feel bad. I feel like I should, because I like Bulkhead. And I feel the situation he's in, especially just because, like, he's in that situation, too, because of how heroic he was. You know, and so, like, I feel like I should be more, but the whole delivery in this just, like, he just seemed to be really whiny for no reason. Like, no one in their right mind who's been a part of that team for as long as he has would ever feel like he is going to be replaced just because somebody new showed up.
Like, yeah, it felt like it was a...
it felt really forced to me.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Like, I didn't buy the idea. And, I mean, they even say it, and I was like, you guys even said it. Like, I just did not buy the idea of him being upset that he might be replaced when it's like, no one has even indicated you're going to get replaced. Like, I know that, you know, I'm sure the plot idea is, like, he feels like he's going to get replaced because he's now the old crippled guy and there's this new young upstart in there. But I was like, no one's going to, you know, like, I couldn't get behind it either because I was like, I don't feel bad for you because you're whining.
Yeah.
Man up.
Yeah.
You're a wrecker.
Maybe in retrospect, I'll feel a little differently, but
I think I got to see another episode after this to see what they do. That's,
yeah.
So, have you seen the promo for Human Factor? Okay.
I
wouldn't mind talking about that when we're done.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say. Let's see. We talked about most of the stuff. It was funny seeing Raph still on damage control for Bumblebee sightings. Like, I got a kick out of that.
I like how Starscream enjoys
Yeah, exactly. I like how that came up later. He's like, yeah. Starscream was just like, yeah, whatever.
I like this.
The other interesting thing, I think we briefly mentioned it, but Alpha Trion, because that is, I think, the first that we've gotten proof that one of the original 13 is actually alive in this universe, and it almost doesn't seem like they know that he's an original 13. They're treating him like he's just some old Autobot that, you know, we kind of, you know, answer to, and he's an archivist or whatever. And I almost wonder if either they don't know that he's an original 13, or maybe like some of the names they don't know, or maybe they just think Alpha Trion just happens to have the same name because that happens once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, Transformers do.
I want to say the books kind of had that same mojo.
I haven't read it, so I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see if that comes up. They made it a point to hint that Alpha Trion is still alive out there, so hopefully that goes explored. Because I'm not a huge... I have nothing necessarily against the concept of the original 13. I think they're best used as a legend. Like, if they all just showed up, they meet them one at a time, and it's just kind of like, I'm fine with them being legendary figures. Like, things that happened in the past, and, like, a lot of the facts about them are not even really known because of it's been millions of years, and, like, the legends have kind of, some of it's been lost, and, you know, it's been twisted because the story has been, you know, not all the story has been told correctly as it's been passed down, so they're basically mythology. But I would be, I mean, I've always loved Alpha Trion as a character from G1 on, and I think I would be totally cool with him being maybe like the one original 13 that's still around, but nobody really knows that he's one of those guys of legend.
Yeah,
that would be really awesome because I didn't infer anything from this episode that they thought that he was one of those guys. And granted, they didn't talk about him a lot, but so yeah, I hope that comes up again. And I don't know. I like Alpha Trion, especially since his. And I'm sure it'll have nothing to do with the IDW version, but like I love IDW Alpha Trion, and I've just been recently trying to catch up on the comics. I finally started RID and More Than Meets the Eye. I'm only like one issue into each, but I'm nearly caught up on the comics for anybody who cares. But it was good to see IDW Alpha Trion pop up again, if only briefly, since the Ironhide miniseries, but I would totally be down for Alpha Trion showing his face in Prime.
I actually just recently got caught up in the comics because I got a whack of trades for my birthday from my brother. So I beefed through them in one long evening of reading, and I'm hoping we can get some. I want to see a third party do the IDW Alpha Trion, just as like an action figure. Just to give me that head sculpt.
The Bakkon one is not perfect as an IDW one, but it's, man, I really regret, because most of my toys right now are in storage from moving up here, just because the place I'm in is kind of temporary. It's fine. I just don't have room to bring everything right now until I find something larger and more permanent. But I was reading the comics, I was really bummed. I'm like, oh man, I really wish I had brought my Bakkon Alpha Trion, because that is one of my favorite Transformers that I own. And I'm kind of bummed that he's sitting in a box in a storage unit back in Florida.
Yeah.
I'm down for some Alpha Trion, and I hope, you know, it's like this. It's like what I was complaining about before, like the stuff, like kind of the Prime falling back on the episodic nature of Western animation. Like, they're planting seeds, some really cool stuff. I really hope that they start sowing those seeds, because it's going to be a big bummer because it's so much potential. It is so this show, it's as if this show is written by right-brained people who, you know, if you want to get into like sociology and stuff, like lots of people who are right-brain dominant, they tend to think in great ideas, and they establish great concepts, but they aren't always the people who follow through. So it's like you get these big thinkers that think in general concepts, and I'm starting to think that like Prime is being spearheaded by several of these people that just have these really grand ideas that are brilliant, and they love to hint and call back to that, but they don't have someone in their crew who is left brain dominant that is willing to take those ideas and actually follow through with them and see them through to the end. So, you know, if anyone from the Prime, you know, from the Prime writing team is listening to this, like invest in a left brain dominant person. Yeah. You need to have a good balance of this. So you have the great ideas, and then you have people that are able to execute them in specific levels. So this is just another example of something that I hope does not go passed up, you know, and if so, whatever, it's a cool little drop, but some of this stuff needs to start bearing fruit.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely like back to what I said again, kind of like with the last episode, it seems like they have somebody there that kind of shepherds everything and, you know, hey, this, you know, build this on top of this, let's build this on top of that, and then walks away and the Jenga pile falls over and they just kind of start over. You know, the whole build of Prime and his lot losing his memories and becoming Orion Pax again, and then but he's Prime again. You know, any of those cycles of things that we've lost along the way, just to, that seemed like it was oh this is going to be cool, you know, Unicron being the core of the Earth and all that could have been or hinted at or played with.
It was three episodes and then done and never even referenced again. It was the frickin' planet.
Yeah,
total destruction of a species, possibly. It basically Transformers Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no exaggeration. Those are the concepts that were floated around for the previous season premiere, and it was dropped as nothing more than a lead in for Prime losing his memory, which led into a MacGuffin chase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said, we covered it a lot last week, and I think that was coming off the tail of a lot of the discussions we had at TFCon, but it's weird. I really like Prime, but I also cannot really defend the idea that its overarching plots have been just the most basic by the numbers. Why do characters need to do something? Here's why. And there's nothing that's like drawing me and going like, I wonder what's going to happen 5 episodes from now. Like, I'm only ever wondering about the next episode, because it's just very blip, 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 and it's like by the numbers is the way I would put it. It's interesting episodes, but very, very few times in Prime do I find myself wondering what's going to happen beyond the next episode. because I'm just like, what are they going to do next? What are they going to do next? And I don't know. Anyway, has anyone else got anything on new recruit they want to drop in? Because now I'm starting to think about that that promo.
Yeah, I'm ready to go into a possible spoiler section for some people territory.
This is a spoiler section. So we got the promo for the next episode, and a lot of us already knew this because in Japan they were like, we're going to release a toy called Silas Breakdown. Spoilers! So Silas is totally apparently mounted in Breakdown. And he's all busted up, and Breakdown looks all busted up. And I actually was just a couple weeks ago now, I was messing with Arms Micron Swerve. And there's actually, when you fold his chest up, Swerve is the only time I've noticed it because he has much brighter translucent plastic. There's like underneath his chest is a sculpted section of circuitry and like a spark chamber. Like all just wires and circuitry. That looks like a place that on another toy you could sculpt a little man being lodged in there. So I'm wondering if they might do that with Silas Breakdown as a toy.
Weird.
But Silas Breakdown is in the next episode. Silas is in the next episode. And he apparently wants to join the Decepticons. There's a cool scene where the vehicle mode windshield is going up and he's like looking out from inside of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like he could.
Yeah.
It's like he's a godmaster or something. When his vehicle, you know, and that's probably a foregone conclusion that would have happened anyway. But I find that really crazy that he transforms and he's basically in the driver's seat.
Yeah. And they say stuff like they didn't say he's inside Breakdown's corpse. They used wording that was really weirdly specific of like he's a man combined with a transformer, or like they're both the same in one or something. It was like all this language, which I'm sure was great. It was language that would fuel people who really want Breakdown to be alive to start theorizing that he is somehow still alive in there. And I was like, either that's going to be awesome, or come on, guys. Like, you can't. There are people out there who really are upset Breakdown is dead. Don't throw them bones like this that you're just going to yank out underneath them. Like, we'll find out in a couple days. But I also know, and I didn't notice this until I saw the forum discussions, but there is a major point of contention due to some clips and some certain robots running around in certain clips, which I think, Gog, you were going to be leading into, if I'm predicting right.
Actually, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It was me that mentioned.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, we're in the spoiler section. Go ahead and spoil the beans.
At 23 seconds along in the 45 preview that showed up on the hub and then over to YouTube, you see Bulkhead upright standing next to Smokescreen as they jump away from a missile explosion.
I completely forgot about that.
That's what I meant.
It looks like maybe Bulkhead, by this episode, has already made mostly a recovery. So
yeah.
So yeah, that was basically what I was hinting at before, that this whole thing just may be non-issue.
That would be really weird after the end of this episode.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
we'll see. Like I said, don't want to judge it until it's happened.
Yeah, my hands are going to be in the air. But like, if that happens, there's no way that would happen without some kind of at least offhand remark to tie that up, because like the ending of this episode with him literally just shuffling off into the darkness, I'm like maybe he goes and finds some of Ratchet's like synth end. I don't know, like, I mean, this is speculation territory, so we'll see in a couple days. But yeah, once I saw people talking about that, I was like, what? And I stopped and like found the frames and I was like, that's weird.
One speculation that I heard that I think that the half frame can shut down is he's not in the Apex armor.
Yeah.
There are people that firmly believe that, and that's another.
Well, is it because he looked at it? But he was just looking at the consequences. Yeah. Like, look what Smokescreen was able to accomplish. And he kind of looked at it like, yeah, I guess he did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And people were thinking like, oh, he was eyeballing it. He's going to take it. Like, people, stop reading so much into every frame.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it. Just relax.
Yeah, that's why in some thread I made the joke that there ought to be like a quarter jar, like a swear jar.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody puts out one of those crazy ideas, they put a quarter in it.
Yeah.
Because they're, I feel like it would be great if there was some sort of internet consequence to craziness, but there's not. It's what makes the internet.
Yeah. But like, I have, from the brief previews of this that we've seen, man, I'm telling you what, like, I'm almost surprised they're going this far. Silas, he looks he looks effed up. Like his face, like I'm surprised. I'm almost surprised they're doing this in a quote unquote kids cartoon. I mean, this isn't like Freddy Krueger level horror, nothing like that. Like, we're not seeing like dismembered people, but you have to look at the concepts we're dealing with here. Like,
yeah.
Silas straight up, like his face is just cut up and is like stitched back together almost Frankenstein style.
Yeah, like, it looks he has a cataract eye. Horrible.
Yeah, he has the top part of Silas's head now is like a metal plate. And he is now inhabiting the dead body of a fan favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were grinding their teeth in a meeting when somebody had to pitch this. And I can't imagine that everybody in the room was like, hell yeah, let's do it. Like, somebody was like, guys, do you realize what you're saying? And not to mention the fact that, you know, now that like Silas looks really screwed up, but Breakdown, like, his eye patch is removed and he has like a zombie eye looking out. Like, it is like, this is dark. Like, it's not like it's going to give me nightmares or anything, but it's like, mm-hmm. I have to applaud the level that they're going with this. This
great is, imagery.
This is absolutely, I mean, to some level, this is disturbing stuff. Mm-hmm. And but this might be the episode that I am looking forward to most from this entire show. You know, both for the concepts that I've stated now and for the previous track record that this show has with mech. I've said it over and over again, like, the mech stuff has been the closest thing that Prime has had to an overarching story, and it has yet to disappoint me. Mech has a mission. You know, every episode that they show up, you know, the episodes tend to be well written. They have a clear goal, and they've been inching their way towards it. And yeah, Silas had a bit of a setback, but then you look at what they've been doing this whole season, and it's a perfect setup for what happened to him. And the imagery here, and like Silas remaining, like continuing to be a major character, or not a major character, but a major player mm-hmm. in this show as far as what goes. Like, I guess the episode description, because I mean, I haven't read spoilers outside of just seeing the promo and reading the kind of one sentence synopsis for the show or introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that, you know, Silas attempts to join the Decepticons. You know, I have a hard time believing that Silas. We've seen where his allegiances with the Decepticons go. Like, he briefly allied with Arachnid. And that was mostly because Arachnid held him against his will. But then you saw what happened with Starscream, and the moment, the second that Starscream wasn't useful to him or he needed something other than his allegiance, he turned on him in a heartbeat. So I have a hard time believing that Silas is going to be like, yeah, man, I want to be a Decepticon. What's up? Accept me. Like, I have a feeling there's going to be more to it than that. And at the very least, I hope so. Mm-hmm. But
this maybe is, not joins, but allies with.
Yeah, for what he needs, and then, you know, when he doesn't need them, he's going to use them for everything that he can get. But
I have a suspicion also that if he's going to Megatron as a human, given the reaction Megatron had to Hard Shell's killer being a human, he might have like a little bit of like, he's not going to take this guy very lightly, given that he's showing up. He's a human being showing up wearing a meat suit of one of his old soldiers. Like, he's probably not going to be like treating him like nothing, but he's probably going to be like, okay. Like, I expect it's going to be a case of Megatron. Like, there's going to be some wariness going on. Cause like Silas has never really had to go brain to brain with Megatron, as far as I recall. And that's the part that really interests me about the next
episode. Have they even met?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I mean the only Decepticons he's met are Breakdown, Arachnid, and Starscream,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, Bulkhead and
Bumblebee,
Prime, Bumblebee, and RC. Like, he fought RC in Nemesis Prime mode, kind of remotely. Yeah. But, well, I guess all the Autobots at this point he's met to some degree. Most of the Decepticons he hasn't.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting. But I love the concepts that are being explored with this. Because it's the kind of thing that you would think that in some degree that they would shy away from, and it, you know, it just shows me that they are they're willing to do stuff. And it, I mean, kind of, I felt the same way when we saw the death of Breakdown. Like, that was, I mean, it, like I said, I didn't lose sleep over it or anything, but there was some unnerving imagery there when you see a character that you like, we've talked about before, and then you see him just sitting there in pieces, decapitated. You know, he's like, it's bad stuff. Like, it's
yeah,
like,
you
wow.
Blink. Like, you're like, you whoa. Blink,
you're like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah.
Because that, there's a finality to that. And so, like, that's not something, that's not like a line that was stated. Like, that's imagery. And again, here, like, there is some very serious imagery that it's really piquing my interest. And I'm really glad that I have the Cyrus Breakdown version pre-ordered. Because I know that it has a new head, and I believe...
Where do you have it pre-ordered?
Big Bad.
Okay.
Yeah. The moment that story came out that said that somebody had interviewed Aaron Archer at SDCC, and he basically stated, like, yeah, we've been avoiding it, but we have no intention at this time of releasing that mold. And I had already had... I think I already had my Breakdown in hand, or I had already pre-ordered it and hadn't gotten it yet. From mm-hmm. Ami Ami, one of those two, but I immediately went bloop and pre-ordered the Cyrus version from Big Bad, and then it sold out shortly after. But
yeah, I'm waiting for a Japanese pre-order on that one because I've gone completest on that mold. I've got Swerve and I've got Breakdown. I want Silas Breakdown.
But I mean, I believe I don't remember the last time I saw a picture, but I mean, it's been stated over and over again that it looks like. You know, the Breakdown version has the clean head with two eyes, and the Cyrus version, I think everybody thinks that it has an eye patch, but I don't know how clear the pictures were on it or if it was final. I'm wondering if it is an eye patch or if, in fact, it's like zombie eye, but people just saw the difference in the eyes and assumed it was an eye patch.
Yeah.
I really hope that it has zombie eye going on. That would be awesome. And if not, I'm sure it's a... You know, you could probably just take a nail or a screw and kind of divot in a little dot and paint it orange and black around it, and then you got your eye or something. But I kind of hope it looks like this and it's not the eye patch, because Cyrus doesn't have eye patch. He has zombie eye. I like it. I don't know. Like, I've watched this promo over and over, and I like a lot of what I'm seeing in this, and I'm super stoked for Friday.
Yeah, I'm ready to watch a new episode of the show, and I'm like, seeing that promo had me go like, yeah, I'm ready for the toy too.
It was a sizzle promo, so
bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, you can make anything sizzle when you're taking 22 minutes or 24 minutes and turning it into 30 seconds with voiceover over top of it.
But yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is the history with the show with the mech episodes. That's why.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would be curbing my enthusiasm. This is the first time with this show that I've been this excited, and there's no curbing my enthusiasm for this. Because
you would have been happy if they just said mech episode.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. But actually getting to see what they're doing. Yeah. I am stoked. So, and one way or another, this episode is going to satisfy me. You know, even if they only show longer versions of the shots that we've seen in the trailer, then
you know,
for any complaints I have against Prime, or will have, you know, depending on how things go into the third season or however long it goes, at the very least, I will be able to go back and watch the mech episodes and be able to enjoy that. So
yeah,
you know, there's always going to be something for me in this show, and we're gonna see if that continues with this. But this, everything I'm seeing about this does not look like it's going to disappoint.
So now we just got to get that kind of annoying guy who does all the hub things to come on and just, for the next time, that we need to get you excited.
It's been getting worse, too. On, yeah.
On the hub!
The hub!
It's time for Transformers to get epic!
The hub!
With Mac! Silas! And that's like the whole promo, and then Gog's just like, yeah!
Be right back, guys. Going to clean myself off.
Epic! Mac on the hub! Like, the guy has the cadence of those sound effects Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys. Like, I don't get it. I guess
hub.
It works. Yeah. Like, the way he says, like, I don't know. Every time I hear it, it just makes me go, like, that's not how you say it. You say the hub, not the hub. Like, no one says the hub. We're watching the hub today because it's epic. Like,
I did find those Ninja Turtle toys and mess with them for a couple minutes in the aisle.
I bought 3 of them.
Sad, sad people.
Anyway, I think we've hit the end of this prime time.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, this is double
feature. That's a good episode, though.
Yeah, yeah. Double length, double feature. Double.
That's fun. It's good to be back.
Hell yeah. We're going to keep this up one way or another. We got this awesome mech episode coming up, and until then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more Prime Time the next time you need the Prime Time. So thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Gog, because we are Prime Out.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators and they're here to stay.